Good morning.
It is good to see everyone this morning. Good to worship with our church family as we praise the name of the Lord. And that is exactly what we get to talk about this morning. And I've entitled this message, "The Majesty and Glory of His Name." So we continue, if you're visiting with us, we're in a series as we're looking at the Ten Commandments and we're walking through those. And so we continue in this series, 10, and we are diving deep into the Ten Commandments. The questions that I ask myself, the questions that I ask for us as a church is, why are we here? Why are we back in the Old Testament? Why is this so important? And for me, it stems from Jesus' words. So as for me as a follower of Christ, I look at Jesus' words, and this is what he tells his disciples, this is what he tells us, this is what he tells his followers. In John 14, 15, he says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So I think about my own life, and it's like, well, I do love Jesus, and maybe you are you feel that too as believers. We hear those words, well, okay, I do love you, Jesus, and so I need to keep your commands. And so we ask the question, so where do we go from here? What is important? We look back and we think, well, there's tons of laws in the Old Testament. Are we supposed to follow those? Jesus came. We're in the New Covenant now. Some of those things are, Paul says, there are no more special days and all these things. What do I need to do? What is important? And so again, we go back to Jesus' teaching. He told us what to do. And when one of his followers asked him in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, one of his followers says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, and he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depends all the law and the prophets." And so we look to Jesus' words. If you love me, keep my commands. Well, what do I do? What is important? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you love other people. And so as believers, we know that we are to love God with everything that we have. As we grow in him, as we love him, as we mature, the fruit of Christ in us begins to spill over in our lives to the people around us. And then we love others as we love ourselves. So how do we love God? How do we love God with everything that we have? And how do we love people as he's told us? What is so incredible as we look at the Ten Commandments, these commands that God gave his people, God tells us how to do that, which is so cool. Jesus tells his followers, here's the two important things, love God, love others. And so we look back at the Ten Commandments, and it shows us how to do that. The first four commands guide us, they teach us, and they tell us how we are to love the one true God. And then the next six after that, guess what? Teach us how to fulfill that second commandment, great command, which is to love others. Isn't that cool? Does anyone find that pretty cool? Okay, good. My wife shook her head. Thank you for the support. Amen. This morning, we get to look at the third commandment from God. We've already seen that God says, "I am the one true God, and there are to be no other gods before him." Not that there are other gods, but there are to be nothing in our lives that are on a list. He does not want to be on anyone's list of gods just to be number one. He doesn't want anybody on the list. He doesn't want to share the stage with anybody. He is the one true God. He is the only God. Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. And then God follows this with the second command. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thank you, Jimmy. Last week helped us understand better and deeper that second command. We are not to worship God in any way other than the way he prescribed for us to worship him. We looked last week at the many ways that we create other idols in our life, whether that is a sin that we're trapped in or even anything that we worship other than God in our lives. And I love the quote that Jimmy shared. I'm not sharing the entire quote, but just kind of the last half of it. But he shared this very thought-provoking quote from A.W. Tozer, which basically is saying, we as the church need to once again purify and elevate our concept of God until it is once more worthy of Him. What we have done in the church is de-elevate the worthiness of God. We've made it kind of our own thing. And so as we move to the third command today, this systematic progression of understanding of how to love God continues. No other gods before Him. Do not create any other idols. We are not to worship anything else. And now, as we see, we as the church, there is a great need for the church to once again elevate the name of God and our use of the name of God to reflect the worthy and glory and majesty that His name deserves. Let me repeat that. We as the church need to once again elevate the name of God and our use of the name of God to reflect the worthy and glory and majesty that His name deserves. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Short verse. Such a powerful command. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us how to love you. Lord, as believers, we're so thankful for Christ and the sacrifice he made on the cross, that he defeated death, he took our sin, that he rose again, he gave us the way to be saved. Thank you for that salvation in Christ alone. And then, Lord, you tell us how to love you. If we love you, we will desire, we will have a want and a desire to keep your commands. What are those commands? To love God with everything and to love people. Let the fruit of you in us to spill over and to love others, Lord. And then we look back at these commands and we see how that makes sense. And so, God, as we look today at this third command, show us, bring us to areas of our life where we are taking your name in vain, that we have de-elevated your name. Lord, help us to see very clearly what it means to lift your name on high. Show us areas. Bring us to repentance and confession. God, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the power of your name. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's look at the name of God. What is the importance of a name? Okay, so this is going to be easy. This is just a test if you're listening. Raise your hand if you have a name. Looking good. Okay, got a couple that don't have names here. All right, we're good. Just kidding. Thank you. Your name is nothing. Hopefully you realize we all have a name. Where did our names come from? Most of us could probably say, well, our parents named us, right? How many of your parents named you? Okay, very good. Okay, we're doing well here. Okay. Now, some of us might have a family name. Anyone have a family name that's been passed down? Like you're a junior or a third or you're not a junior. Katie's not a junior. Okay. But it might be maybe a middle name or something that was already there. Many parents, how many parents used a baby book to find the name of their kids? You can admit that. There's nothing wrong with that. Baby books, okay, that was a big thing back in the 80s and 90s. But here's what's so crazy, okay? No one ever named God. Okay? That's pretty awesome. God's name was chosen and revealed by God himself. That blows my mind. Then God revealed his name to Moses long before these commands were given to his people, and we can look at that in Exodus chapter 3, which is such a crazy awesome passage, 14 and 15. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Let that be to us as his followers. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. God's name is Yahweh. If you look at the Hebrew alphabet, it's Yahweh, which means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. What is that not cool? That is just awesome. Yahweh, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. God's name is to be revered. It's to be revered. It's to be honored. And what is so important about the Hebrew culture, if you look back at the Hebrew culture, when they gave a name to someone, it was not just a label. It was not just, hey, Chris, that's what I call you. It's not how they did things. It went so much deeper. It described who they were. It was not just a label. And so God's name represents, God's name Yahweh represents who God is. And this is so important for us Christians that we understand that God's name is not just a label that we throw around. We've got to understand that. Because God's name is who he is. It represents his supreme sovereignty. It represents his self-existence. It represents his holiness, his justness, his power, his entire reputation. And so God says, do you want to know how you can love me? Then do not take my name in vain. Do you want to love me? If you love me, you will keep my commands. Do you want to know how to love me? Then do not throw my name around in vain, because it is who I am, and it is to be revered, it is to be honored. I like a translation of that command that I read, which says, do not use my name lightly. I like that. Because God's name is not just a label. It is who he is. Church, and I'm not just saying that it's us. I'm talking about the church. We have de-elevated the name of God. We have lowered the powerful name of God and of Christ. The thing is, the world, those who are lost, they've always lowered the name of God. They've always lowered the name of God. But we as the church, we as Christians, we've done it too. And way more ways than just as a swear word or a cuss word. Because that's where our mind usually goes, right? It goes way deeper than that. We have forgotten the majesty and the glory of his name. We use it flippantly. We use it carelessly. We use it lightly. And guess what? That is a sin. That's a sin. When you throw around God's name, and we're going to talk about some ways that we do it, when we throw it around carelessly, that is a sin. The Lord will not, and look at verse 7, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. It is a sin to take his name in vain. It is a sin to use it lightly. It is a sin to carelessly throw around God's name. So how do we do it? How do we misuse the Lord's name? And just so you'll know, there's some really cool stuff at the end of this sermon, okay? there's some really cool stuff. There's hope, okay? This is what I'm calling the most uncomfortable section for all of us, okay? But there's some really cool stuff, and I hope you stick with me, okay? This is, I believe, will be the most uncomfortable section for all of us, and that is a great thing. That's a great thing. I believe this will be a convicting section for all of us, and that is a beautiful thing. Because if you're a true believer, don't you want to know how to love Jesus more? Don't you want to know how to love God? And so we look back and we're like, oh, how do I love you, God? And he says, don't do this. Don't take my name in vain. And so we want to be convicted. We want to be made aware of by the Holy Spirit. It's like, well, how am I doing that so I can change? How can I can confess, I can repent, and I can stop doing this because I love you, Lord, right? It's a beautiful thing. And again, we're going to see something so incredible if we will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and work in our hearts. And so for some of us, including myself, as I begin to looking at this command, we might be thinking, you know what? Well, I'm doing pretty good because I don't cuss, right? We look at that, don't take the Lord your name, God's name in vain, and we're just like, well, I don't cuss. I don't say, oh my, and then put his name in there all the time, which is a crazy habit that this world is doing. But then I started going deeper with this command, and here is the phrase that kept coming to my mind. And I don't know if this has been said before. I didn't read this, but I'm sure the idea has been around for a long time. But here's the phrase that kept coming to my mind this week. Here it is. How we use God's name speaks mightily to what we believe about God. How Chris Roberts uses the name of the Lord speaks to what I really believe about God. How you throw around God's name and attach it to all sorts of stuff, or use it as a swear word, or constantly say, oh my, and then throw in his name, or use the name of Jesus and Christ just to throw it around in your conversation. How we use God's name speaks to what we truly believe about God. It speaks to what we think about him. It speaks to how we truly care about the majesty and glory of his name. And this is why God is saying here, if you love me, do not use my name lightly. God does not say we are not allowed to use his name. We can speak of the name of the Lord. We can talk about Jesus. We can speak his name. We can sing praises to him. He is not saying don't use my name, but he's saying when you use it, do not misuse it. Remember what Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount? When his disciples came, he's like, teach us how to pray. And then he was telling his followers in the sermon, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, what? Hallowed be your name. Right? Jesus told us, this is important. My name is important. And when you pray to me, hallowed be your name. We are to hallow his name. But think about how we throw his name around today. And yeah, the obvious place to start is how we, just in our conversations, right? How we throw it around. Now, when I was growing up in the church, I heard phrases like, don't cuss and don't use swear words, because that's not what a Christian does, right? I mean, anyone grow up like that? Okay. And I think this is as far as people go sometimes with this command. And that's part of it. Because I believe the way our conversation, what comes out of our mouth is what's on in our hearts, right? I believe that. How we talk about things is what's in our hearts. And I think that's where we start on the surface. We throw his name around. Christians, church, we've got to stop misusing his name in conversations. We've got to stop throwing it around like it's just a part of our culture and just a phrase that we use. We've got to stop saying, oh my, OMG, and all these things. I think there's a lot of people that just don't understand what they're doing. I think this, I really do, because it's all over our culture. But when have Christians supposed to be exactly like the culture? And I think for many of us, it's just a habit. And I think for many children and teenagers, I think they haven't been taught about the majesty and glory of God's name. And maybe they hear parents do it, and they hear kids at school doing it, they hear other people do it, and you see it everywhere. And so please don't take this as the fundamental preacher telling you how to talk or not to talk. That's not what I'm doing here. This is not some religious rule from the preacher. This is from God. Don't use my name lightly. Don't throw my name around. Don't misuse it. My name is the most important name of all time. It means I am who I am. It is important. It should be worshipped and praised, the name of God. We should not be taking it and using it in a flippant, careless way. Okay, now, some of you are like, all right, made it through that one. I don't do those kind of things. I don't really have a problem with that. But let's go a little deeper. Remember the phrase, do not use my name lightly, okay? And this is where I think a lot of us are. I think we have kind of de-elevated his name and we just kind of throw it and we attach it to things and we don't even know. We're just throwing it around. We're using it lightly. What are some other ways in which we use God's name lightly? I read a quote from a man named Stephen Carter from his book, and it's called God's Name in Vain. And this is what he said. This probably will make us feel uncomfortable. He says, in truth, there is probably no country in the Western world where people use God's name quite as much, or quite as publicly, or for quite as many purposes as we Americans do. We love to throw the name of the Lord around and attach it to everything that we do. Think about it. Political candidates, we attach God's name. They attach God's name at the end of their speeches. Athletes, we point, we make a touchdown, we point. We say in speeches, whether it's Hollywood or whatever it is, at a post-game conference, we attach God's name for our own political views. We do. We attach God's name for our own personal agendas. Well, God is against poverty. God is against nuclear weapons. And this and that. This is meddling in our lives, right? Okay? This is God's word. We've got to stop and say, what do you mean, Lord? We are not to use his name lightly. We are not to throw his name and attach his name to things for our own ideas and our own political ideas, our own sports whatevers, or our own this and our own that, our own personal agendas, because we're just throwing his name around lightly. And again, this is not me standing up here saying, this is how you live, this is how you say things, this is how you don't say things. This is not me. We got to look at this as the church. We got to look at this as believers. How do I love you, Lord? I need to honor your name. I need to stop throwing it around. Church, we must be careful how we use his name. That's my encouragement to all of us. We have to stop and start thinking about the power of the name of the Lord. We got to be careful how we use it. And a serious way that we take God's name in vain is when we use it for our own personal agenda. The Lord told me to do this. The Lord told me to do that. The Lord told me to buy a jet so I can travel. The Lord told me to build this. The Lord told me to purchase this. And if the Lord told me, then he's telling you too. We see this. The corruption of the church, we see this all over the place. We see this among religious leaders. We attach God's name for our own personal agenda, and that is dangerous. Dangerous. We also take God's name in vain by taking Scripture out of context and attaching God to our own twisting of Scripture for our own personal agendas. We look at a Scripture and we pull it out and say, like, well, this is what God says, so therefore, we got to be careful. Do not use my name lightly. Do not take my name in vain. All right, you want to go even deeper? You want to get more uncomfortable? If we are not to take his name lightly, then I would say that we as a church are taking his name in vain in our church culture sometimes. What do I mean by this? Now, I've been in a church all my life, since I was in the nursery. I've been in a Southern Baptist church all my life, and I've been around a lot of different denominations, and every denomination has phrases they use. They have Christianese talk. We use these phrases. We say things like praise the Lord, God be with you. I'll be praying for you. We do things sometimes out of habit and out of motion. Maybe we raise our hands or we sing these songs that we sing, and we're singing about the Lord, but our mind might not even be there, right? We say churchy phrases when we don't even know why we're saying them, because we just are used to saying them in the church building or because we're a Christian. We come to worship and we have our Bibles open, but yet we're texting people while we're in worship. It's the picture I've told you so many times that I saw at church camp of the kid raising his hand in worship, and he was down here doing this. What is this? This is just a habit. This is because other people are doing it. This is because we're in a culture. We might be in church and singing songs, and but we're singing praise the name of the Lord forever and praise Him, praise God. And what's our mind doing? It's like, well, I got to get to the grocery store after this. Got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. We're going through our to-do lists. This is all of us, right? We're being careless in our worship. We're taking the name of the Lord in vain by throwing His name around. Even as we sing songs and as we do these things, we're coming into this place. And what I mean by that is we're taking things lightly, right? We're taking the name of the Lord lightly. We're throwing it around with our churchy phrases in this culture. And maybe I'm the only one convicted by these things, because I know I've done that. I know I've done it. And I just begin to think, imagine what worship can and will be like if we truly honored the name of the Lord. That when we came to this place with our families, and we were like, let's honor the Lord. Let's sing these songs because we love God. And just imagine if we honed in for the hour and 15 minutes we're together and just truly worshiped with everything that we had, giving Him the glory for His name, with not just with lips, but with our hearts. Imagine how sweet this worship would be. Why do we do this? Why should we do that? Why are we not to misuse His name? Why does He say, do not use my name lightly? Do not take my name in vain. Why should we do this? Let's look. Because His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Why are we to worship Him? Why are we to praise His name? Because His name is wonderful. Isaiah 9:6, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallowed be your name. His name should be praised. It should be honored. It should be celebrated. It should be lifted high and exalted. And think how we throw it around. When we sing these songs, we should sing to the glory of His name. We give Him glorious praise. His name should never be lowered to a slogan or a trite phrase, right? When we use God's name, it should bring glory to Him alone. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for how we've thrown your name around. We should take the mindset of Paul in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And here's what's so awesome. This is so cool. What happens when we begin to bring honor to His name? What happens when we start taking His name seriously? We stop throwing it around. We stop attaching it to our own personal things and all that stuff. We honor it. We use it to bring Him glory. What happens when we start bringing honor to His name? Here it is. When the name of Christ is lifted up, people are saved. When God's name is lifted up, when Christ is lifted up, when the name of the Lord is lifted up, guess what happens? People get saved because there's power in the name of Jesus, right? And when we lift his name high, when we talk about him and who he is and what he's done and how he's saved us, or when we bring honor to him, when our speech, when we talk about the name of the Lord, we mention Jesus Christ to our friends and our family, when we preach the name of Jesus, guess what? People are saved. When we begin to take his name seriously and use it for his glory, others will find salvation. There is power in the name of Jesus. When we stop using God's name as a careless swear word and we start using it to bring glory and honor to him, the lost will find salvation because when we're using it, he's getting all the glory, right? Because how we use God's name in our lives says a lot about what we believe about him, right? When we start talking about Christ and what he's done in our lives and our family, then our friends and our coworkers, guess what? They're going to hear the good news of the gospel, right? When we start coming to this place to worship together as a church and stop carelessly throwing around God's name and stop pretending to be focused, and instead we give the Lord our time and give him the glory and honor he deserves, imagine the incredible, sweet, beautiful worship that we will have as a church in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Oh, the majesty and glory of your name. There is power in his name. Listen to the power of Christ's name. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that awesome? At the name of Jesus, God says, don't throw my name around, because there is power in the name of the Lord. At the name of Jesus, people are going to bow. Everyone someday. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Here's some other good news. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. That's good news, right? Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's more for believers. I hope that we have looked, I hope that we have not been sitting here judging others. I hope that we have not been sitting here thinking, oh, I'm not so bad. I hope that you, hope the Holy Spirit has begun showing you how we, so many ways that we use his name lightly. But here's the good news. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive them. Isn't that awesome? That's why I call it repentance is a beautiful thing. Confession is a beautiful thing. Coming in this place and being uncomfortable is a good thing because there's hope to it. There's hope because Jesus died on the cross, took our sins, and if we are saved by his grace, our sins are forgiven, and we can come and we can confess those sins, and then we know how to love him more, right? We love him more, and then our walk with him grows deeper and deeper, and we know how to love God, and then we begin to know how to love others. It's such a beautiful thing. If we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. This is not a time to compare ourselves. It's not a time to judge others for whatever they're doing. This is a time to repent. It's time to confess. It's time to confess the ways that we have lowered the name of God, the name of Jesus, and to confess to how we have used his name lightly, and then to turn and begin to give him honor and glory, to use his name in a way that reflects what we truly believe about him, the majesty and glory of his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy what? Name. Amen? That just means you agree. So if you agree, amen? Amen. Let's bless his holy name. Let's pray. God, thank you for being the one true God. Thank you that you are our Lord, you are our Yahweh. I am who I am. I will be who I'll always be. Thank you for being wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace. We want to bless your name. We want to stop throwing your name around lightly just because the culture does, or because it's a habit, or because we're not focused on who you are. Lord, let us confess. Let us repent. Let us turn to coming back to revering your name. Let it be a part of our daily walk with you and our conversations. Let's talk about you because we love you and because it's what we know who you are and we know your power. Let us have that in our conversations so others can be saved because they hear the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus. Let us come into this place of worship just saying, Lord, I want to give you this time. I want to stop raising my hand only because it's what I always do, but to truly raise our hands because we love you and we're praising your name. Lord, I know we are a distracted culture, and I get that. But when we come into your place, we are using your name lightly when we're distracted. So I pray that we as a church could focus, that we could help our children understand that as we prepare for worship. God, thank you for your commands. Thank you for your word. God, we want to love you more. If you love, you say, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Lord, we just desperately want to know how to do that. And so we're coming to you, seeking you, hearing your word this morning. And thank you for that. And I do pray for if anyone here or if anyone is listening, that they can know the truth that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Thank you for salvation in you alone. We love you. We bless you. We praise your name. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.